How often as a homeschooling mom or dad have you wished you were in better shape and had more energy? Today's guest, Rebecca Dussault, is here to tell us how thriving in faith and fitness benefits your homeschool.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Hi, I'm Lisa Maladnik, and today we're talking about how thriving in faith and fitness benefits your homeschool. Our guest is Rebecca Dussault, and she's a Catholic Olympian, world champion, and homeschooling mother of six. She knows well the rigors of finding balance and structure to be truly fit for one's vocation. She has taken sport to its highest levels over the last two decades, and as a multi-sport mama has competed in the world championships of four different sports, earning more than 15 U.S. national titles. She passionately coaches Catholic mothers to a proper perspective in faith, fitness, and food through her online business at fitcatholicmom.com. Rebecca's expertise helps each woman become fortified in health and holiness in an attainable and sustainable way. As a nationally recognized speaker, she has appeared on EWTN, in the National Catholic Register, on top faith podcasts and radio stations, and has been the keynote at several women's conferences and for many other Catholic events. Welcome, Rebecca. It's so good to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. It's wonderful to be here with you all and a new audience for me.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, our Catholic Homeschool Network is a big one that's growing really, really fast. And we're just so blessed to have you with us today, because this is a topic that's on so many of our minds. You know, there's such a focus on the body in our society that it makes a lot of Catholic women feel like there's, you know, maybe something wrong with being fit, or that somehow we have to push it away. But you have a really healthy mindset around fitness that has developed over time. And I'd love it if you'd just step us into your story, please. Tell us about your background and how sports became so important to your development as a Catholic woman.
Sure. Well, it does go back quite a ways. As a child, my mother saw fit to plug us into a lot of different sports. And fortunately, it was a necessity at the time of a separation of my parents. And in my mom's wisdom, she thought that would be the best way to keep the kids well entertained, give them other good meaningful authority in their lives and help direct their passions. They're going to need to fill this space with something constructive. I really ran with that, literally. And I would go from sport to sport to sport. I loved it. It fueled everything about me. But more than anything, it really taught me to just harmonize my body and my soul, you know, really have agility, grace, balance, and just discipline and motivation, everything we need as young people to set a goal and to attain a goal. So within that, just really being piped into with words of affirmation as well, you can do this. You can be great at anything you want to be great at. And for me, that did whittle down to be sport. And over the time, certain sports would drop away and it became cross-country skiing. Really, the pivotal story that puts that in place is going on a moonlight ski with our parish. And our priest said the mass for us way out in the national forest by the light of the moon in this snow. So deep in Colorado that if we stepped off our skis, we would have sunk to our hips. So we stayed atop our skis and received our precious Lord in the Eucharist. And I thought, wow, I haven't done that on a balance beam and I've not done that in a pool. So to me, that was a great confluence of my two passions, faith and fitness.
Wow, what a beautiful image of that your sport, that your being on your skis kept you at the surface of the snow while you're receiving the Lord. What an incredibly dramatic moment for you as a young person.
Yeah, and with a strong spiritual guide who not only incorporated ways to keep holy and fit my temple, but also my spirit. You know, he was my confessor, my priest. It was just beautiful. And being led to that point made me realize this was kind of a cut above when it came to my sporting experiences. So that springboarded me for sure to begin to pursue Nordic more heavily. It was also very family-centric because my family could be alongside the ski trail as I raced. They could be out there while I trained. There's expansive amounts of kilometers. So while they had never been vaulting right alongside me or throwing the softball standing at, you know, as pitcher when I hit, you know, all these things, I just never had had that family expression as well, as so strong as I felt it with cross country too. So this all really culminated then when I have my own family and it's presented to me that I am Olympic material and I need to choose if I'm going to do that. And this comes amidst lots of pressures. As a 19-year-old, I was already winning at the national level. And from the pinnacle of that point, I stepped down because of really terrible pressures within the sport, which were going to compromise me morally.
And you're talking about the culture of athletes within at the national level, that was, you were feeling the influence and the pressure of that. And so in favor of preserving your own moral integrity, you stepped away from it for a time?
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to win all the medals, stand on all the podiums, travel the world. I really wanted that. And that fame and that glory and just that set of things to happen to me. But at the same time, it was so overshadowed by the lack of morality of teammates and coaches, the pressures to cave in to on my own morals. And here I am, a well-formed young homeschool daughter of the church, daughter of the church, going into this scene, just feeling like the pressures were too great, that ultimately, what would it benefit me if I, say, won the gold medal, but I lost my soul in the process? Those are the thoughts, the mindset that was beginning to take form within me. And it was hard to reconcile. It tore me apart terribly, but ultimately, having stepped away, I was able to re-enter when I was married, re-enter sport at that level again. And once I was married and I had a son as well. And so that's when my Olympic journey really began in earnest. And true to my motherhood, my true vocation, we were able to travel the world as a family and take in all camps and training events together. So it became a blessing. Yeah,
I have to wonder too, Rebecca, that witness of traveling with your family, and I know you've said that you were also attending Mass regularly and other people knew about that, that we won't know until we all get to heaven all the seeds that are planted as a result of that faithfulness, but God is so good and generous and he takes our efforts and magnifies them. And I just think that's, it's exciting to me to think of all the people who witnessed the three of you together.
Yeah, I'm sure it was hard at times. I put some criteria on my time traveling with the U.S. ski team that was very different than any other athlete before or since. But I did have some special things going on, that of being a wife and a mother first, that of being a faithful Catholic who's not compromising. So as much as I can stamp my life as I'm an Olympian, but really what I go back to is that I am a faithful Olympian. It was my faith first. That's where we foundationally have to be Olympians. That's where we have to be striving in earnest every single day, engineering our goals, you know, getting ourselves to do the next right thing and the next hard thing. And so it's analogous what I've experienced at the level of physical achievements, really, really more so to the soul. What does that mean for my ultimate journey? So I've fought long and hard for a lot of perishable crowns, but rest assured, it's the imperishable crown that is still out there in my, you know, in my future vision of what I want for myself and my family.
And this all makes me think of St. John Paul II, who spent so much time in the outdoors with young people and in Poland, and really always encouraged a natural and a supernatural sense of the body and the meaning of the body. And I know that you have a devotion to Blessed. Is he still Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati?
Blessed Pier Giorgio, yes.
He is blessed. And just tell us just a little bit about your devotion to him.
Oh, he's like a brother to me in that I discovered him around the time of the Olympics, a couple years just prior. And taking note that he is only a blessed and needs one more miracle for canonization, began to beg his intercession. But to really see in him someone who was ordinary doing the extraordinary. I mean, what would we have as impact on this culture if we acted like Blessed Frassati. He would have friends go play pool with him, but if they lost, they had to accompany him to adoration. He would take his friends hiking and be like, how can you be up here and not understand more about God? Just challenging their set of beliefs so gracefully, but forcefully. He had a way of engaging. And even on the public transportation, they'd be like, you're the son of a senator. You are the third wealthiest family in Italy. Why are we on the third class of public transportation? And he would just say, there's no fourth. You know, just really.
Because you can't go lower. Yeah,
exactly. Here's the gospel in action. He also was just a practical joker. I mean, everything about his life is so applicable to me. I'm like, you are a man for this age. When Pope St. John Paul II in 93 said, this is the man of the Beatitudes and the model saint for the youth. I was like, whoa, if our eyes and ears don't catch that, we've got to look at his life and see what it is. How was he politically active? How was he spiritually in defense of the faith at every turn? How was he in academia doing the right things there? And how was he a servant to the servant to the poorest? He was just everything about his life, I think a young person today can resonate with. And so I took up his patronage over my athletics, wrote his name on my skis, and just loved looking to him for an example. He also competed in cross-country skiing once upon a time. Just his love of the mountains and how that revealed the Lord more completely to him. Something I totally get.
I feel like as we mature spiritually, and obviously Blessed Frassati matured very young, we do have spiritual sight. We start to see in the mountains and in the light glistening on snow and all of those things, the presence of God, the beauty of God. And what are some benefits to Catholic homeschooling parents of really making an effort, having as part of their spiritual discipline, incorporating physical discipline so that they can start to become more fit and maintain it, sustain it?
Well, all of us need a large skill set to be Catholic homeschooling parents. Let's be honest. Chesterton, his quote, and I'm going to paraphrase because I can't probably quote it exactly, but how can it be a large V vocation to teach one thing to everyone and a small V vocation to teach everything to one? We're not only teaching everything to one, many of us are teaching everything to 5, 8, 10. This is serious business. And a mother or a father who are exhausted, who are full of their own blockages and baggage in their person, find it very hard to actually give a full gift of self that is just really sacrificial and getting these kids to the place they need to get to in this life. And so a parent can directly affect that by firstly working on their own self-care. And we often get that at the level of taking time for our soul, whether it's taking time for prayer or going and sitting at adoration, fitting in the family rosary, having some silent, you know, meditation, whatever it is, we get that soul care. But sometimes we are doing such disservice to our flesh at the same time. And so we live with this gaping disconnect. And moms come to me all the time exhausted and wondering who they have become. And so really helping them heal through a proper Catholic stewardship of the flesh. Not feeling like we're getting on some vain train headed for the world. Not at all. Ultimately, we want to be attractive Catholics. But what does that mean? We want to attract others to the truth, capital T. We have it. We have it in the faith. We've got to steward it. We've got to live it, breathe it, and share it so that others are like, what do they have? What do those Catholic homeschooling families have that we don't have? They're kids. There's something in that whole family. There's a spark. There's a light. They encapsulate truth. So it's hard to be so disintegrated that we think it's only about the soul, because our bodies speak truth. We know that sometimes we even, obviously as Catholics, flood that into the space of our family planning. There's truth there, right? But then do we let that touch our fridge or our pantry? Do we let that touch our purchase power in the fast food line? Ah, we've got a continuum of truth. So we are healthy, holy, and happy. And it's so possible. There is a stewardship that respects the constraints on our time as homeschoolers, as some of us are farmers, some of us even have jobs, entrepreneurs, whatever is going on. It's all of that is much harder for not caring for ourselves as well.
Yeah, they're really very recognizable costs. For some of us, you know, self-neglect over time results in chronic illness. And for others, just a sense of an identity shift. When we're younger, we feel like we can do almost anything. And as we mature spiritually, we're supposed to be able to do all things in Christ. But if we're hampered because we have a lack of an ability to take, you know, a small routine, as I'd like you to describe actually this process of how you work with women in particular, creating small routines and building on them so that there's that shift into something that we can work with that's a blessing to our families and not a whole self-centered, you know, chunk out of our family time. Talk to us about that, about how you help women to incorporate this into their lives in really beneficial ways.
Well, it doesn't serve anyone to try and make changes and go from easy. And by easy, I mean, by definition, what we've economized, what we've made efficient in our lives. It doesn't serve anyone to go easy plus 10, trying to change the entire family's way of eating or the entire family way of operating. These drastic changes really put us out on extremes. And I like to think of everything in our lives being on a spectrum. On the one hand is deprivation, on the one hand is gluttony. And those things are pulling in opposition to each other. But what we're trying to strike is that center ground that is a holy tension, where we're doing enough and we're not being a zealot in any of the wrong ways, making deprivation our God nor gluttony our God, but putting things into balance. They all come into play together. So for women, I work on a lot of different, I work from a lot of place of nuggets. I call them like nuggets because people hear my voice ringing loud and true in their head. And so it could be something like easy plus one that they understand is do what you're good at. Add that sense of challenge, add that little slight edge so you know you're moving forward. Too many women come to me at easy minus five. Like, I'm not even doing what I should be doing any of it well or on point, you know. So getting people to uncover then a truly Catholic why, because a lot of us do know how. We do know what we should be eating. We do know how to exercise, some of us. We have no why to back that up. And so we lose the battle in that fertile ground of our mindset, that 80% of the equation. We battle it out and we lose. We think, I have no willpower. I have no willpower. You have no why power. You've got to understand a deep-rooted personal and Catholic why.
Describe that to us a little bit, Rebecca. What might a why look like when you're working with people? How does that emerge? What kinds of ideas help?
Absolutely. There's such a way to extract this from people and to get them to pray over it and really mull over it and then formulate it so that they can read it every day and visit this. It could be simple questions like, I choose to be faithful and fit because. Do any of us have a real, concise, targeted answer for that? Why? I reject living in my hell because. Maybe they've not identified the hell that they've begun to create, right? We start our hell or our heaven on earth. So getting real with that. What in your life feels like a small hell that you go through? Is it complete exhaustion? Is it dependence on all sorts of substances from wine to chocolate to coffee to peanut butter? What are you addicted to? What are you medicating with other than the Messiah? Okay, and then this impacts everyone in my life because. Who else is suffering because you're allowing yourself to suffer, whether knowingly or unknowingly? What changes can you make to change that for others? Okay, this impacts my faith because, okay, drawing in that infusion of your will and your why and your body and your soul, what does that put you aiming at?
Examination of conscience around the impact and the consequences of maybe just not making clear choices over time. And now this opportunity to examine it and make some clear choices.
Yeah, to get real clear, for sure. Clarity and confidence. And then it's really it's the bones, it's the structure that you can build on. And then every day showing up for yourself, you put flesh on that and you quickly gain your momentum, as I call it. I love that. I always capitalize M-O-M as I write the word momentum, right? We need momentum. We cannot raise saints from the places we let ourselves fall into. Really, we set up the pits and we fall into them often. And I'm not saying everyone's going to be perfect in every, in all these multifaceted places we have to put our time, our energy, and our money. But sometimes we're too diluted in that way too. So this brings the whole focus in tighter and says, what is worth doing? What is worth buying? What is worth eating? What is worth trying? Getting that clarity for the family. And I start with the mom, because the mom is the conduit. Any of us in right relationship with our husband recognize he's definitely the head. But ultimately what he decides on and what we decide on with him in our collaboration flows through the neck. And this is the conduit. This is where we don't want blockages. We are the ones coursing blood to the rest of the family. We pick the activities, the nutrition, the curriculum. What is a mom not in charge of? So if her person is thriving and whole and holy, we get a better result. And if a Catholic mom can be healed, a Catholic family can be healed. And if a Catholic family can be healed, so can a community and so can society. So we've got to start with ourselves. And we know that the best way to take care of another's soul is to take care of our own. We know that. Same with the body. Take care of our bodies. Witness to our children that this flesh is to be stewarded. It is so sad to me when I encounter women who say, I'm scared to achieve another pregnancy because I am 100 pounds overweight, or I have no energy whatsoever and I have a prolapse of this sort or that sort because of how I've cared for myself physically, right? To be fruitful and to multiply. All these beautiful commands on our life as Catholic families have a stewardship of the body attached to them. We just don't hear it from the pulpit. We don't. And so maybe we discount it. And we get used to the, you know, fleeing the worldly messages. And so the world is always going to say, leave the soul, leave your spirituality, and definitely leave your religion out of this. But the church never, ever has asked you and I to check our body at the door. We come in body and soul. We are nourished body and soul. So that's our starting point, our springboard into doing the right thing.
Yeah. In fact, the Catechism says that we are a unity of body and soul, that that is our human nature, which is why we are promised that our glorified bodies will be united with our souls for all eternity in heaven. And so what is this sacred care of the physical, and how do we get started? Step us back into this idea of easy plus one rather than easy plus 10, and setting goals that are so great that even in the back of our minds, we suspect from the outset that it will fail, that we'll run out of gas, that it will reverberate through our family routines so drastically that it will create conflict and disruption and end up being something that we have to just kind of back away from and sacrifice ourselves.
You know, when we deal in extremes, it doesn't serve us well. If we try to go on the celery diet, we ultimately end up on the donut diet. We can't deal in extremes. We've got to deal in methodical, strategic ways of just continuing to move forward. Sometimes there will be that big jump forward, but mostly it's easing forward. And easing forward when it's not full of consolation, right? We still pray our daily rosary, even if it's not full of beautiful consolation. Or we still show up at adoration, even if it just felt like all I did is sit there and he gazed at me. In fact, I was so tired, I just want to sleep the whole time. Whatever it is, we still faithfully show up. And that's when we ultimately will be rewarded for that faithfulness. So in the lives of the families, it is getting the parents to understand that it is not a personal sweat session that we're after, because that does sound selfish and that gets thrown out of our lives. Now, if we use our time of activity to be adventurous, to connect with our kids, to engage, to be that energetic parent, it can be a small shift. It can be going to a park and instead of sitting there with a Pepsi on the phone, getting up and playing tag with your children. Is that revolutionary? No, but how many parents are doing that? How many parents are running around in the park with their kids and their kids are like, our parents are the coolest parents. Look at how they're chasing us. They're hanging us upside down, swinging us. You know, like, we just need to re-engage and we need to play, right? We are not to be childish, but childlike. And I guarantee being childlike has wonder, it has awe, it has playfulness. So in our day-to-day routine, taking on small things. I ask women to commit to 20 to 30 minutes initially for exercise. And maybe that's 20 to 30 minutes forever. And maybe that's 10 minutes in the morning doing prayer in the pelvic floor. Who doesn't need their core and their pelvic floor? I call it the core and the floor, helped out through life. And who doesn't need 10 more minutes somewhere else, or a 20-minute walking rosary as the family? I always chuckle when people say, what is a walking rosary? You take your rosaries and you go on a walk. Exactly. You know, that's 20 more minutes spent in movement than most women are getting.
Yeah. My daughter and I, when we first started homeschooling, would take dance breaks. You know, she'd be doing her academics and, you know, she'd start to get all squirmy or distracted. So we'd turn on some fun music and we would just get up and dance for 5 minutes. And the dog loved it. And it really did scatter the cobwebs, make us feel better. Or we might just take a walk around the neighborhood pretending together, just talking and pretending as we walked around the neighborhood.
How important. So here's that idea of, is it a personal sweat session? No. It encapsulates your chance to be healthy, holy, and happy today. And the way that it lifts our mood, whether that little 20-minute bout of exercise was convenient to us or not, it helped us clear our mind. It helped us sleep better. It helped reduce our anxiety and our depression. It helped us maybe connect and engage with our kids at a deeper level. It could be a libido enhancer. I mean, you name the the benefits. Medicine, movement is medicine, and I truly believe that. When we're down and we're out, if we go tuck into bed and crawl into a dark space, we don't move forward, right? Go out on a walk and let the sunlight into our eyes and the wind in our face and hear the other creatures alive. That is a different experience of our time spent.
And I can attest to the fact that having lived in the city for many years, there's still, you may hear a lot of other noises, but there's still birdsong. There's still stuff growing through the cracks in the sidewalk. There are still city parks. There are people's little gardens hanging out their windows. There's a sky to look up at. There's so much to draw us outdoors if we're looking for it.
For sure. And there's always still interior silence amidst all the clamor.
Yeah. And would you tell us, Rebecca, what is, you have a ministry online as well as in person at the local level. Would you describe those to us? How are you working with women?
So Fit Catholic Mom is the blossoming of years of working with women, initially a local group. And it's just came to the point where I thought, this is not impacting near as many women as it should. This is for all Catholic women, and they don't even have to be mothers, obviously. I uniquely have a voice into that, seeing as how we have had 7 babies, 6 of which we're delighted to raise. One is in heaven. But it's a growth out of what I live and do every single day. And so I don't consider it to be anything abnormal, and I don't want other women to feel it is either. So just mentoring them into this space, giving them accountability and working with them to disciple them to health and holiness. So that's really the thrust of Fit Catholic Mom, is getting women able to crush it in body and soul and thrive in their vocation, to love saying, I'm a mother. I'm a mother of 6. I'm a homeschool mother. I'm a faithful daughter of the church. I love what I have and the means I have for my sanctification. I don't loathe it. I don't resent it. I'm not crushed by it. I'm actually winning and thriving. Women, believe it or not, can attain that through just learning better physical stewardship, starting right there, because it brings up everything for them. As they move their body, they move their soul even better.
Mm-hmm. And you have a Facebook community, is that correct?
I do. I've got a kind of thriving, growing Facebook page, or a group rather, Fit Catholic Mom. Where we interact. It's a hub for sure. Some more active there than others. They also Instagram. But aside from that, really allowing women to call and to take time with me to have me help them assess where they're at. Some of them really just don't know really truly what their struggle is. And they need someone to speak truth into that space. The hard truth, really shine a light into those dark spots and say, this is where you're at. And here's where you could be, if you're willing to let go of who you have been for who you can become. And many of us are just not living the life we imagined. And we just need someone to strike that fire, show us how, and be respectful of our Catholic families. So Fit Catholic Mom is a beautiful ministry. Selfishly, it gives me some accountability and motivation too, right? Because I want to spearhead this for women. And so I must do it myself. I must walk a mile in the, or wear out the shoes I ask them to walk a mile in.
What about your local efforts for women?
Tell us. Local efforts are a little less official. I have a good community of Catholic friends here and other Christian friends too, just through various places our homeschooling touches one another's lives. And so almost in a way to attract those women into the fullness of the truth, that of the Catholic faith, I started Christian Women's Workout. So we get together at my home every Thursday morning and I lead a workout. We do it to Christian music. All of the kids come for a very wholesome play date. And, you know, in the summer days, on the warm days, we even go swimming afterward down at the lake a minute away. But really, it's just getting the women together and saying, let's move together. Let's pray together. Let's consecrate our day together. Let's start this powerfully. So we take turns leading the intercessions, whether we're praying for nursing mamas or our husbands who are at work or women who can't conceive or women having trouble with lactation. Like we offer all of it. And that's a huge concept for some women, that their exercise isn't selfish. It's actually an extension of their prayer time. Amazing how they push harder in intervals. If they're intercessory intervals, if they've got that daughter, that teenage daughter struggling with bulimia, or that son who's trying to find his vocation and is tottering, you know, dabbling around at 18 undirected, they find that if they are asserting their power and force into something that is not only benefiting them, but that they're making it a powerful prayer, that they really show up. And it speaks truth to their kids too. So we just try to leverage all these things and make it hit in every spot, you know? And so it's fun, obviously, getting to work out with gals face-to-face is a real joy. I wish it could be every woman I've ever had the ability to train, but alas, we see each other on Zoom sometimes too.
Wonderful. Yeah, you know, just the thought of being able to work with an Olympic champion, someone who's an Olympian who has also had all these world championships and who has so refined her natural gifts in the physical realm while continuously incorporating them in the spiritual realm. It's just so exciting that someone like you is out there for us to learn from. And I feel like your way of talking about it, your humility, your love of your vocation, and the way you've always put your family first allows women to approach someone like you without intimidation, that they're able to see themselves in you potentially, that this is somebody who is meeting God there in the physical. And I think I can do it too. And I don't get any sense that you're trying to make people in your own image or make them into sport champions, but to help them to find that natural place in loving their families and being healthy and fit.
Yeah, for sure. I know there's some level of intimidation out there still, just reading Olympian, world champion sends some people into, well, she's out of my league. And I always try to wrap back to the realness of my own story. Just in this last pregnancy, I mean, our youngest is 4 months old. I gained 48 pounds. I have a diastasis recti. I have, you know, pregnancy does the same thing to my body as it does to most women's bodies. And I have to take up again, and during the pregnancy, of course, a real stewardship. I have the same issues as all women. I just may have a lens into the fact that we can find a way out of this gracefully, very gracefully, and be the better for it, and our families the better for it. So just healing women in their minds, in their spirit, in their body, and empowering them, because we're kind of running the world in a small part, right? Trying to raise saints. The next crop of the best people we can offer this place are in our homes. So it is beautiful. It's a ministry that will forever be a part of me, because I don't think there's any age or any stage where we're not called to be as healthy as we can be, to serve more. That strength, that stamina built for service.
And what a powerful witness to our children that they don't need to dread being parents, that they can look forward to a life of vitality, of kind of creatively living with more joy. And in fact, if we do allow ourselves to step into the playfulness of our children, however we can at this time, and build on that gradually, then we affirm them and we affirm the beauty of their childhood and then the beauty of their own future parentage or however they will be called upon to lead in the future with joy.
Yeah, there's so much formation we're in charge of. And I know my prayer has been always, Lord, make my children the sum of my strengths, not my weaknesses.
Amen.
I have to show up strong, right? I've got to show up strong, able to make those choices out of a place of virtue, whether it's what I'm putting on their lunch plate today, August 19th, or, you know, whatever it is. We just want to do the right thing. I think that's at the heart of every parent. And they need a little bit of insight and method as to how in this culture to do that. So we can do that. We've been given so many blessings and graces and mercies for when we do mess up, but we get up faster, we get up stronger. We do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And it's in him we live and move and have our being. When we get that figured out, it's all things powerful.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. What an exciting prospect that any of us in small steps can make such powerful changes and step into those holy scriptures that reference, in a sense, sport and finishing the race and living and moving and having our being in Christ. Everybody, check out fitcatholicmom.com and fitcatholicmom at Facebook and Instagram. And get to know Rebecca Dussault. She's really a light out there for us parents who struggle in self-care and helps us to find a way to be stronger, to serve our families. Rebecca, thanks a million for being with us today.
Oh, what a blessing for me. Thank you to your audience and to you, and blessings on Homeschool Connections.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And please stay tuned for our short feature coming right up.
Hi everyone, I'm Chantal Howard, and this is From Ideal to Real, where we love to discuss ways in which to bring holiness to life in everyday circumstances. As we've just come off the holiday season, celebrating the richness of the incarnation, this is a perfect moment for us to reflect on the theology of the body. And what do I mean by that? Of course, we can dive deep into the understanding of how God created us, male and female, in his image, why he took on flesh and wants to redeem us through our humanity. But even more so, I want to encourage us to expand the horizons of what this might look like in our everyday life. The theology of the body encompasses how we care for our bodies, the temple of our bodies, as well as our homes. The food that we consume, the smells that we smell, the activities that we participate in, and the efforts that we take in order to make sure that we are thriving and healthy so we can better serve the kingdom and those around us. So here are three simple ways in which you might consider focusing in on the theology of the care of your bodies, so to speak. First of all, this time of year is a perfect time to consider the atmosphere in your home. Are you cleaning your home with harsh cleansers, with toxic chemicals, with things that are going to impact the health and mood of your family? Or are you using beautiful Catholic traditions such as burning a little incense to mask ugly odors and brighten the atmosphere of your home, diffusing essential oils that have deep biblical significance to not only bring about better air quality and cleaner, more appropriate atmosphere, but also to enrich the memory and the intention and the significance of the season? Smells matter. I think this is a fun Catholic concept. When we look at Scripture, we see all throughout Scripture that God asked for worship of him through aroma, and he calls us to be the aroma of Christ to one another as well. So what a beautiful way to ditch the plugins and choose something that is uplifting, healthy, and spiritually enriching. Number two, how about the food that we're eating? This is a perfect time of year to try something new. Maybe it's learning the art and tradition of building sourdough bread in your home. Maybe it's discovering traditions of fermented foods that are nutritious and healthy and come to us from beautiful cultures all over the world. Or maybe it's simply replacing some of the processed items that we're accustomed to purchasing with things that are a little bit closer to nature. Whenever we tap into things that are more pure, we encounter the simplicity of God's design, and our bodies tend to thrive better as well. So I encourage you to be brave and courageous in discovering, asking, seeking out healthier ways to enrich your food culture in your home. And lastly, movement. This is one that this time of year is tough. It's dark, it's often damp and dreary, or maybe you're weighed down by snow and you don't feel like tromping through the woods. But I do encourage you to find some creative ways to bring movement into your life this time of year, whether it's a stretching routine, dancing, going for that beautiful, crisp morning walk, and allow yourself to breathe fresh air, even if it means you have to bundle up a little bit more. Getting out and experiencing movement in our body allows us to identify with the movement of the Holy Spirit, which is rich and healing and robust. When we breathe deeply and we stretch our limbs and we feel the blood pulsing through our veins, we're able to release stress and it enhances our ability to serve one another in charity. So here are three simple ways that I feel that you can enhance your own family's health this time of year. Start simple and just stay consistent. Smells, food, and movement matter. I'm Chantal Howard, and I look forward to having you join me for another episode of From Ideal to Real on the Homeschool Connection podcast. Until then, you can find me at aromarosary.com and chantal-howard.com.
That's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com, where you can get online courses for your grade school, middle school, and high school student. Learn from the experts and make your homeschooling easier. Be sure to leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. And we'll see you next time here on the Homeschooling Saints podcast.